Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Inside Scoop Live. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm your host, Juanita Watson, and today my guest is author Daniel Ewing. He is here to talk about his just published debut novel, The Last Cowboy. Daniel Ewing was born in Warsaw, New York in 1982. He grew up in Canandaigua, New York, and in April 2003, Daniel joined the Army as an infantryman. He was stationed in Germany and served two tours in Iraq. Daniel now studies at St. John Fisher College and resides in Rochester, New York. And I am just so happy to talk with Daniel. I'm so happy he's on the program today. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Thank you, Juanita. Good to be here.
Yeah, so congratulations. This is your first book. How are you feeling that you know The Last Cowboy's on shelves?
I'm very excited. I've got plenty of books in my apartment, which I like to distribute to all my friends, and every time I talk about it, I get very excited.
Yeah. Well, you're a very young author, so this is quite a feat for you to actually do.
Yeah. I started writing it when I was, only 18, and I just got enthralled with it, and I couldn't stop. I thought I had a very original idea, so I got really into it.
So I understand that you actually felt that this book absolutely needed to be written. So tell us why that is.
Well, basically, I started writing in early 2001, or early summer, before 9/11, and before everyone started really scrutinizing America.
Mm.
There was all this hysteria on the news about everyone had their own thesis on America, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, I thought we were slumbering in an age of gilded commercialism or whatever. That's what I put in my cover letters. Because
mm-hmm.
I read all these books, these great American books, on the road, and I wanted to get back to, the time when things weren't so boring and, you sit around watching commercials and TV and it's all about money and everything. I wanted to, be all crazy and hitchhiking and stuff. I wanted to write, a journey novel, and I wanted the main character to be, a quintessential American character. So I picked cowboy, and then I ended up just satirizing all these different societal issues. It's kind of like an Odyssey novel.
Yeah, it really is interesting. So how would you categorize this? Is it straight satire? Is it social commentary, drama? How would you categorize it?
I would say it is, some parts are straight satire, but it's not a complete satire. Because there's a lot of romanticism and, a lot of allegory. It's like one big American allegory for America.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I would say ultimately, yeah.
So were you enamored as a youth with the whole cowboy image?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ever since I was a kid, I was always big on Westerns, on Indiana Jones, even though he was, an archaeologist. But a lot of kids looked up to him, and I wanted to get, a leather jacket and go and find King Tut's dad.
That's funny. Well, you spent a lot of time in the military. I mean, it's been about 5 years that you spent?
4 years.
4 years. And there's kind of a similarity with the American cowboy and military, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. When I was in the military, I met a cross-section of Americans from all over the country. And, they all had their different way of speaking, different little dialects, slangs. And, you just see a lot of America without going there because you see the people.
Mm.
And you learn all their stories and you get to know them. I worked with a lot of really good guys when I was in the Army, actually.
Mm-hmm. So you're out of the Army now?
Yep. I got honorable discharge May of 2007.
Okay. So how will we see that the whole Army and military influence show up in this book?
Well, I'd say a little bit in the slang, definitely, but I wrote the bulk of it before I joined.
Oh.
And then later, when I was in the barracks, or on and off, I would go back to it and work on it some more. So it's kind of laced throughout, in the language. You'll see some of that military talk.
So tell us a little bit about your writing history. You know, we don't know much about you. Have you been writing since you were a child? Is this something you just kind of started with this story?
Yeah, I'd say I've been writing since I was about 10 or 11. My sister's friend, Jackie Miller, she always kept a diary, and I thought it was a good idea, so I kept a diary. And then I just started writing, like, every single thing I did in the day. And then I started writing, you know, stories and poems and writing little love letters to the girl next door and whatnot.
So you're a romantic. Is that why we see such a romance overarching theme in The Last Cowboy?
Yeah, that is kind of why, yeah. I actually grew up next to a girl named Angie, so...
Oh, and Angie is the romantic.
She's the romantic savior girl he's always trying to get to. I'm not really, like... It's been so long since I've talked to the real one. I'm just kind of using the persona.
Sure. Right. Okay, so why don't you tell our audience what The Last Cowboy is about? What happens in this story?
Well, it starts off with the cowboy walks into a bar, and there's...
That sounds like a joke.
Yeah. He walks into a bar, and there's a Jew and a priest and a rabbi. How's it go? I don't know. No offense against anyone, though.
No.
He walks in there, and, like, there's all these drunken lawmen, and, like, they're all pissed off, and it's kind of like I fashioned the first chapter against the movie Unforgiven.
Okay, the Clint Eastwood.
He walks into the bar, and he has that double-barrel shotgun, and he just slowly lowers it, and it's all tense and everything. This is kind of like that, because there's a shootout right in the beginning, and this cowboy's really rebellious, defiant to the last, and comes in there, starts ordering whiskey and women, and he wants to forget his life and wake up and have his journey to America. And it's kind of like one of those really like classic American beginnings, but underlining that is a little bit of satire, as you'll see, like, there's credit card logos on the door. So it's not like, I just want the reader to know that this is modern times, and that comes through a lot thicker in the later chapters as well.
Okay, because you actually are setting this story in present day.
Yep. I set the timeline when I was writing it in the summer, late spring and all the way through the summer of 2001, and that's when he's going. You don't really find out exactly that until later in the book, but
Okay. Throughout
you know it's in modern times, and you're kind of, that's kind of some of the play that I was working with, like, where is this set?
And we have a shootout in modern time. Where actually is this taking place?
In Oregon.
Okay.
Strickland, Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
I picked it, and I like the name of the town because it sounded tough.
Strictly, yeah.
I've never actually been there, but I don't know. I wanted him to go from west to east on his journey instead of from east to west.
Oh, interesting.
Because, you know, how they had the manifest destiny.
Mm-hmm.
Go west, young man, and then we all went west, and then we got our country established, and we got all those crazy people out there in L.A. and everything. And
yeah.
This guy, he's been in L.A., basically. He's deluded, delusional. And now he's going back east where... And I read something historically that...
Well, that's interesting.
Settlers going west, a lot of them, like, stopped in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, they couldn't handle it or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I like to pay attention to a lot of, like, historical symbolism, kind of.
Yeah, you really do bring a lot of that into this book. I mean, is that just kind of indicative of who you are, or did you do a lot of research for this story?
I did do some loose research. Like, I would just go to the college library and pick up some old cowboy novels and just read them just to get a sense of the vernacular. But most of the time it was just me rocking out with my creative writing, just because I wanted it to have that feel that you're reading it and it's like spur of the moment. Like, I didn't want it to sound overly bookish, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to go for the Jack Kerouac narrative.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So obviously that's one of your influences.
Oh, yeah.
Jack. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kerouac and Hemingway, Faulkner.
Mm. So tell us a little more about Henry Dunn. He's quite a contradiction.
Yep. He is always contradicting himself. condemning people and then using them and then trying to requit himself and falling in love. He's a dreamer. He's a very vexed character, and he's sort of what everyone idolizes and wants to be. So he kind of embodies America. He's like an icon, a hero, an anti-hero at the same time. But deep down, I'd say he's kind of like a kid. Like the kid is like his alter ego.
Oh, interesting. Well, tell us about the kid, because he here is someone that goes on the journey with Henry.
Yep. He picks him up in Las Vegas after a very seedy, like, gratuitous scene, kind of. Kind of violent, and I like to say it fulfills a catharsis, kind of. But, yeah, he picks him up, and he tries to save him and teach him about the cowboy way and try to show him his ambivalence or whatever towards all the commercialism, everything that's going on in modern times, and how he just shoots through it, basically. So they go on this journey, and they start having all these adventures, knocking off convenience stores and doing all sorts of crazy stuff, and they're riding on horses. Everyone's driving on cars.
I was just going to say, are they on horses? I mean, this. Yeah, I can see the comedic aspect of your story.
Yeah, there's one scene. Yeah, they start out on horses, and there's like a huge line of traffic out in the desert, right? And like they're all going west and they're going east, like going against the current.
Yeah, against the grain.
All these kids in the back seats of all these minivans are like looking out, and they want to be the cowboy and the kid riding these horses, and they can just see them through the guardrail, you know? And all their parents are like, no, it's not real. So it's kind of, I used a lot of literary play there.
You must have really had fun writing this book.
Oh, yeah. It was a blast.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to find that one passage right now. But,
you know, bringing the kid in, that reminds me of The Unforgiven, too, because Clint Eastwood did have that kid that was the tag-along.
Oh, yeah. That kid, he was blind.
Yeah.
He couldn't see through the gunplay and the violence. He just wanted to get into it, yeah.
Yeah. So were you also influenced by old Westerns, John Wayne, and all of that?
Yep. Not so much John Wayne.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of like, I don't know, too much of a bigot, overly. He's a cool guy, like, but some of the things he said, if you read his quotes and stuff, are just plain, like, stupid. I don't know, in my opinion.
Uh-huh.
I know he's a god, like, in American Westerns.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go for Clint Eastwood, though. Outlaw Josie Wales.
Yeah, I hear ya. That's more of your generation, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we'll be back with more Inside Scoop Live after these important announcements.
Are you looking for new ways to promote your book? Why not consider being interviewed live? With the huge impact internet radio as well as podcasting is making in our society, your voice can now be heard worldwide. Let Juanita at Inside Scoop Live create the necessary steps for you. You will not only receive a web page of your own, but your interview will be available for MP3 download and RSS feed. As well, your interview will be posted on venues such as iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Podcast Alley, and the Inside Scoop Live blog. Go to InsideScoopLive.com today for more information. Welcome back to Inside Scoop Live. Just to remind you, I'm talking today with Daniel Ewing. He is the author of The Last Cowboy, and you can look for this book on Amazon.com. So tell us a little more about Angie and the whole romance theme in this book. I mean, you know, the whole idea of cowboys is very romantic, the cowboy journey, that whole archetype, it's very romantic. And then you throw this theme of he's searching for his love. Tell us a little more about that.
When I first wrote the book, it was only like 166 pages, double-spaced courier font, and it was based mostly on dreams. The cowboy kept on having these dreams about this girl who was like standing on a hilltop, who was fading away on the other side, haloed by a sunset, and he's running up this hill and trying to get to her, and he can't get to her. He just misses every time, and then he wakes up, and he's in L.A., kind of hallucinating or something like that, and wandering the streets. But I decided not to go with that version because it would be too hard to understand. But I took some of those little dreams, and I put them in there, Like he's always it's like the sacred feminine. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code. He's always like looking for the mother for the kid that he picked up and a wife. He wants to complete his family, his
mm-hmm.
American family or whatever,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
the American dream.
Mm-hmm.
And she is in Kansas becoming very modern and bitter kind of because she gets fired from her job and her parents are divorced and they don't have a lot of money and they're on the verge of home foreclosure. So that was another thing I threw in there. But
a lot of contemporary themes.
Yeah, a lot of contemporary. I wanted this to be like the ultimate societal novel, you know?
Yeah, it really sounds like it. It's a clash of just generations and different, yeah, it's cultures and different society issues. It really sounds very, very interesting.
Mm. Yeah, I just watched Natural Born Killers by,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of my favorite movies. I've seen it a dozen times. And that I would say there's some influences of that in here, too.
Wow. That's quite a mix. Well, now let's talk about the whole movie end of things, because I know that part of your vision with this novel is to put out the novel, but then write the screenplay and see what you can do about getting this actually out to film.
Yeah, I've always loved movies, and I particularly saw this book in my head as a movie. I know like a lot of people have said that, but this is like, I have to get this into a movie. Like, I'm really determined.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm writing a screenplay, and we'll see what happens. I don't know. This Christmas, I'm actually going to be out on the West Coast.
Oh, good.
Trying to, yeah, see if I can make some connections. I don't know.
You know, there's some kind, I don't really know exactly what it is, but there's a big book expo that happens in L.A. that a lot of the people in the entertainment industry go to look for, you know, the next idea, the next book.
Really?
Yeah, there is. You might want to check into that. It might just be the LA Book Expo. I'm not too sure, but I imagine a little bit of research online would pull that up real quickly.
LA Book Expo, all right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like maybe a Quentin Tarantino would be a great one for this.
Oh, yeah.
Or is that too violent?
If I could get this under the right pair of eyes, like Quentin Tarantino, Oliver Stone, Clint Eastwood, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure they get pretty excited about it.
Oh, interesting. You know, I'm here in Austin, Texas, and Robert Rodriguez is from here too, and that would probably be a good fit for you as well.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Mhm, mhm. Well, anyway, we'll see what happens with all of that. But so, have you written the screenplay at this point? I mean, that's a whole completely different type of writing than a novel.
It is. It is. I have not completed it. I have, I got a pretty good start on it, but yeah, you gotta learn the format and you gotta learn all those abbreviations. I bumped into somebody in Barnes & Noble who's a big screenplay aficionado and we just started talking. She's got her own little independent production company.
Mm-hmm.
So we meet, every once in a while and, that's my contact for making sure I'm writing it right with the correct format. So
mm-hmm.
Hopefully I'll be able to, hash that out.
When do you project that will be finished up?
I'm looking to do it like within the next 3 days.
Oh wow! So what does your writing look like? I mean, are you writing every day at this point? Are you really going for this as your career? I know you're in school.
I am. I'm still. I got like one more semester until I graduate. So that's an exciting coming out with my own book.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, were you going for a degree in literature?
Yep, English.
Okay.
English writing, and then.
So what do your schoolmates think of this?
They are pretty excited, actually. Like, all the guys in the dorms, like, I just give them free copies because, like, they know me.
Yeah.
And started reading it, and they said good things. They're like, this is awesome, or, you know, what the college student would say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I go to parties and bring a bunch of books, and I did a couple readings actually.
Oh, great!
Yep.
Up in the New York area.
Yep, up in the New York area at a small independent bookstore, and at a Barnes and Noble's for a literature club actually.
Mm-hmm. So how did you find that and promotions? I mean, most authors obviously love the writing, and maybe the promotion and marketing not so much. What's the balance for you?
Yeah, I always knew when I made the decision to self-publish that the big challenge for me would be promoting it, because my brother's a salesman, and like I'm kind of more like the I like to sit in my secluded room and write stuff.
Yeah, you're the creative one.
But at the same time, you know, I could. It's kind of a personal sell, though. It's not like selling knives or something. You gotta like talk to a guy. I like to talk to him and get him into it. And
mm-hmm.
then I mention it, and then some. I've actually sold a couple like right at bars and stuff.
Oh wow!
Like, yeah, I got a couple of copies right here.
Oh, that's really interesting. Hmm.
But there's a couple ideas I had in mind, like cross country road trip.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know. I've handed out a bunch of flyers, and I'm not the best. I'm not the worst like promoting guy. But
well, I tell you, yeah. Of course, a publicist really helps sometimes. You know, it's not really in the cards for a first novel, but the first book is such a learning experience. It's really interesting. So are you looking to next projects? I mean, you're writing your screenplay, but what are you thinking for the future for other novels? Or are you just going to focus on The Last Cowboy at this point?
Yeah, I've got a bunch of them floating around. I've actually started a bunch. They're more along the lines of, like, creative nonfiction.
Mm-hmm.
It's one that I started to get excited about, just like in conversation with my friends a couple days ago, was East Coast Dreamers. That's the title. I always start out with the title.
Mm-hmm. That's funny. It's a good title.
I get the title, and then I get the first and last lines, and then I just fill in the rest.
That's funny. That's, I've never heard that before.
That's how I do it.
That's great. So what can you tell us about plot, or is that all you have at this point? The beginning and end note.
It's about a group of friends in upstate New York, and you know, one of them is a returning veteran, and the other one is living with his parents, and they're always talking about doing something, like going west on a road trip or doing something with their lives or whatever. It's kind of, it's about, like, slackerdom. And, like, irreverence and just having fun when you're in your mid to late 20s.
Mm-hmm.
And my girlfriend's breaking up relationships and all this crazy stuff, and like they never really go west, and they have all these problems with money, and then they finally do, and I don't know. That's basically the plot.
Very interesting. Very much. It sounds to me like a younger generation. Is that basically who you're writing for? More of a modern, contemporary generation?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting, Daniel. Okay, so I know you have no website. You're in the works. Getting a website up?
I am in the works, and that will be out shortly.
Okay, but your book can be purchased through Amazon at this point?
Amazon, I'd say that's the best way to go, or Borders.com,
okay.
Or the publisher's website.
Robert Reed Publishers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. Well, very interesting. Well, is there anything that we didn't cover that you really wanted to get through to our audience today?
I'd like to say, did you see that thing where the journalist threw a shoe at George Bush today?
Today? No, I didn't. I haven't turned my TV on yet today. What happened?
A Middle Eastern journalist, he was visiting Iraq, I think. He threw both his shoes at George Bush. Yeah, in a press conference.
Oh, my God.
And that's kind of another reason why I thought it was timely for this book to come out, because President Bush is on his way out.
You think he's the last cowboy?
Kind of. Like, they had that book, Cowboy Diplomacy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, there's some parallels, definitely, you know, politically. But I actually, President Bush came to my hometown.
Oh, wow.
And he thanked me for my service.
Really?
That's a good story, yeah.
You know, interesting that you have, you know, kind of that take when you've been in the military. I mean, I imagine you have a lot of opinions about what is happening right now.
Oh, yeah, I do. I have a lot of opinions. I watch CNN all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of think we got to move those guys, troops, up to Pakistan.
Afghanistan. Well, how long were you over there?
I was there in Iraq, a total of 22 months.
Mm-hmm. That's a long time.
Yeah, I was stop lost. You know that program, Army program, where you are involuntarily extended?
Okay.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a big issue and everything. We petitioned with Senator Hillary Clinton and Senator, another senator from New York. Cool. And they got me totally free from my military obligations.
Out of there? Mm-hmm.
Basically, because they were trying to call me back after I already done 4 years.
Wow. So do you think at this point it looks like we're going in a better direction, or is that still up in the air?
I think we're going in a better direction, but I think the VA really needs to be modernized. I just wrote a paper on that, how there's all these young people coming back with, like, severe PTSD and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an issue that is huge. It's almost epidemic, and it's not being talked about.
Right, yeah. But I think Barack Obama, he's got some good, I think he'll do well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, interesting. That's a whole other topic and issue that we could get into. So I think we're going to need to have you back on the program one day.
Sounds great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I encourage you to get that website up. You know, people love to go to a website, so we'll keep our eyes open for that.
Actually, I have it up right now,
mm-hmm.
but there's nothing on it.
Well, you need to get something on it. Yeah. Yeah. Well,
they can just Google The Last Cowboy.
Yeah. Okay, great, Daniel. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you. I just congratulate you. It's a huge, huge endeavor to take on a first novel, and at such a young age. I mean, you're really doing something and really putting out some very, very intelligent work. You know, it takes a certain kind of person to weave contemporary culture into a satire like this. So, I mean, you've done a magnificent job. So congratulations, and I just look forward to following your career.
Thank you. Thanks a lot, honey. It's great talking to you.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, well, you have a wonderful day, and we'll talk again soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, listeners, that's been Daniel Ewing. His new book, The Last Cowboy, is out now. A very interesting read. I highly, highly recommend it. And you can just check out his listing on Amazon, The Last Cowboy. It's all up there. And there's some book reviews to look at. They are very, very good book reviews. So I just encourage you to check out Daniel Ewing. So I want to thank you all for tuning in to Inside Scoop Live today. I'm Juanita Watson. And until next time.